Hey, Energizer, welcome to this episode of the Jonesing For Show. And, you know, you've heard me say this before a couple times, right? You want to give back to the community. It's one of our three pillars of living your life to the max, right? Your greater purpose. And the greater purpose encompasses many things, but one of them is, how do you give back? How do you help out the community and in turn help yourself, right? It's filling your cup in so many ways as well. It's helping you and helping others. And today, I'm super excited to introduce my friend and special guest to all of you to help you with volunteering. What does it look like? What does it feel like? How can you do it? What's the best way? And all those different things about being a volunteer. She's self-labeled volunteer-aholic, which is awesome. I love that she's willing to give so much to others, and I can't wait to share her expertise with all of you. So let me please introduce and welcome, help me welcome my friend, Amy T. Meyer. Amy, thank you so much for being here.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you for having me. And like, as you said, I love to volunteer, and anything I can do to help people find their niche, I think is super important.
It's, you know, so many of us hear about, oh, we need to go do, you know, volunteer at a soup kitchen, or we could go do this thing at, I don't know, a school or something like that. But it's not always what fits our niche, right? To find the things that really resonate with us. And because, you know, there's so many volunteer opportunities out there. If you start looking for it, I think there's an abundancy of opportunities out there. How do we know? I know I'm just going right for the meat of it, but how do we know how to find our niche?
So your niche is where your passions are. So if I were to guess, Spencer, I would think that you could volunteer with an after-school program, getting kids to move.
Right. Totally.
Or an assisted living, same thing, you know. And so finding who you like to serve is a big part. And then it's where your passions are. So somebody who loves coding can teach kids coding. Somebody who loves design can offer to do flyers and design work. And every job that we have in our world basically also has nonprofit capabilities, you know, and I think it's finding out what you love. So it's not necessarily what you do,
right?
But what you love, and if you have someone you love to serve. So another person, Kayla in our group, there's a woman in a networking group that we are, she loves her cat. She could volunteer at like humane societies or animal shelters, just loving on cats. And wow, that reduces how much staffing they have to provide. It improves the life of the cats, and it would most likely improve Kayla's life. She would see a lot of joy in working with the different animals. I'm not I love animals, but that's not where my niche is. My niche is, I learned through serving in all these different capacities. Now, and I will give this an example. So I took a year off of work to just volunteer to find out where my superpower was. And I knew it was with kids, but I didn't know specifically what age groups. So I did volunteering with third graders, with middle school, and with high school. And for me, high school kids who are the roughest. So I ran suspended expelled programs for two area high schools. Wow. I helped people do reintegration planning, different things like that. And that's who I love. Now, I had great impacts in the middle school and the third grade. And I mean, amazing impacts with the third graders specifically. But it was not my jam. I left that event feeling completely drained. Like, I'm really happy I did it and I love the relationships from it,
right?
But it felt draining. Middle school was middle of the ground because the kids are kind of getting into the knucklehead view. But middle school also has almost like a little bit more teacher politics.
Right.
And one of the things that I learned in high schools, parents don't volunteer in high schools. Hmm. Nobody likes the teenage kids.
Sad.
And so I had more autonomy. Hmm. And I could have, you know, real conversations with the kids and talk about what their ideas were, what their innovations were, what their passions were, and be very open and upfront with my belief of their probabilities in a non, you know, like working with certain kids, you know, everybody, especially in elementary school, everybody wants to be, you know, NHL or NBA or,
right,
you know, the superstar, but they don't necessarily have the habits that are going to get them. In the high school scenario, they either are already on that path or they're not.
Mm-hmm.
You can have really open and honest conversations with them on the probability of their dreams and then why.
Right.
You know, and different things like that. And so for me, high schoolers were absolutely my jam.
It's really interesting because when I taught middle school, high school choir for 9 years, that you're right. Even when I worked in a student taught in elementary school, you saw a bunch of volunteers, and then middle and high school, as the older kids got, the less volunteers that they have and necessarily need really for things as well. But the parents don't offer nearly as much. I remember scheduling field trips and that being a difference, but I fell in love with high school overall. I liked all the grades. It was nice, but middle school was good, but high school is where my heart was at because you could have those deeper conversations with them, you know, on their pathway, and you can still help guide them, right? It's not the end of their life yet, right? They could still pick a pathway, just like even as adults, although it's harder for us as it was, as it is for them even, but we can help guide them and have those conversations. And I love that you said you found the thing that filled you up, that left you feeling joy, right? As opposed to third grade, you're super happy you did it. You're there. You filled those kids. You gave to them, but you felt drained afterwards. And I would imagine for volunteering, that's a place we don't want to be, right? Because you don't want to be giving and volunteering and pouring your heart and soul and energy into something only to leave feeling entirely drained as opposed to energized, right? And so that's all what happens from finding your niche, right? So that you can find the thing that energizes you.
Well, and it's so apparent, I think, to everybody around you. And, you know, I also feel like how people show up to volunteer is incredibly important. Because it is a self-reflection. Your work or your personal ethos is what you're showing. So, and I think it's pretty consistent. Like, I think the bad employee that shows up late and leaves early is oftentimes a bad volunteer, or can be. Volunteer can be that area where they love it so much that they're there early, they stay late, that means they're in the right program, doing the right thing, and making three times the impact that someone else would. I feel like volunteering is a litmus test. And I think even the pandemic has been a litmus test. I've been on boards where people aren't meeting, and I'm like, but we have Zoom. And they still don't show up to a Zoom meeting.
Wow.
And I'm like, yeah. Like, and in the nonprofit world, nothing stopped for the pandemic. In fact, needs got greater and you needed more creativity and innovation. And it's exciting to me to have a problem that you don't necessarily, like, it's new. It's a new problem. How are we going to support soldiers who have to go into quarantine before or after a deployment, when your mental mindset during those periods are so crucial? And then they're going to come back out of it and they're going to have expectations of fitness, expectations of, you know, family interactions, being able to do their jobs. So we created quarantine baskets that had bands that they could do in their hotel rooms. So you could still do your fitness. they had games, and then we did like Apple cards. So that, because everybody has a device, everybody can watch movies and different things like that.
Right.
But then we had also groups that, like if you wanted to do Words with Friends or those sort of interactive video right. games, you know, that gave them those capabilities because it's the interaction when you're, I mean, my husband had to go through, and it's horrible. It was like back in the beginning, it was 21 days in a hotel room. You're not allowed to leave. They let you out 45 minutes a day to do exercise.
My God.
Can you imagine? And then you go to theater, which is serving in the Middle East somewhere.
Yep.
And you have to be on point. And so to me, it was a crazy time. And so we were doing these packages and we did things like this, even at down in Texas, even though we're in Washington.
Oh, wow.
By reaching out to different veteran service organizations and all sorts of different things. So for me, it wasn't a time to slow down. It was a time to speed up and think, you know, how can we use the chalkboard wall and figure it out?
Well, it's amazing. Concerns,
what's our price point?
Right. Yeah, and go through all those, the problems, quote unquote problems, and how can you solve them? How can you come up with the solutions to those problems? And the pandemic, it did a lot of things to the world. And I can definitely see how it amped up almost all the nonprofits, right? Almost everything had to, I mean, everything had to evolve and change to some degree. And the nonprofits really had to change because the need did get greater and people needed stuff. And then even think about veterans with that, an area of life that I'm not familiar with at all, to go, oh my gosh, I suppose, right? To get ready to go over and then coming back and how their mindset is, preparing them and reacquainting them, all the different things. That's huge. So before we hop into and really dissect how we can look at problems and solve them and how we can get our hands dirty with that, let's pull out for a moment here and learn more about Amy and what brought you here, what got you to do these things, especially with veterans and with all the groups that you do. So share a little bit about Amy for all of us.
Well, sure. So I have a unique story in that my whole family is from this area, like my parents, my grandparents from the state of Washington. But in the early 70s, the job market was really, really bad for sheet metal workers and stuff. And so my parents went up to Canada, and I was actually born in Canada. And because my parents, my dad did serve in the Marine Corps, but he wasn't serving at the time. I was a Canadian citizen because that's where I was born. Now, if you have two American parents, I believe the parents, anyhow, I'm not quite sure. But so I became a naturalized citizen at 16 and joined the Army at 17. And but I went to schools here in the U.S. my entire life. So when I took the naturalization test, I'm like, you guys aren't teaching this.
Right.
And they're like, ha, 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 ha. And I'm like, no, seriously, because I haven't taken any of these classes. But I knew it because my parents have always taught that we need to learn our own history. We need to learn different things. And I come from a family of service. You know, I was my entire life, my grandma crocheted for a children's hospital, baby blankets. So much so that she was actually given the keys to the city before she passed. And my dad was very much, when you go into the service, volunteer for everything you want. He goes, you're going to be voluntold anyways. So you might as well pick the things that you want to do. You look better, you do better. And then you're not going to be picked for the things you don't want to do because you're already doing these other things. So he gave me this desire for giving back. Mm.
Smart advice too, right? To go for the things that you want to do or seemed interesting at least, as opposed to being voluntold to do the other things that might not interest you as much.
Right. So I never painted rocks as a private or did lawn work, which was huge back in the 90s when I served. Having privates do lawn work for all the battalions and stuff like that was a big deal. Never did any of it. I got to run programs. I got to reorganize mechanical bays, do all these things. Right. And so, of course, I didn't have time to mow a lawn. It was a travesty. Or shovel snow.
Right.
And I was stationed at Fort Drum, New York, home of the Frozen Chosen.
Oh, geez.
And it would snow so much that they joked, because I just arrived place, so they would make caverns from battalion to, or from company to battalion, mm-hmm. and nobody could see me coming because of all the berms. I was too short. I just arrived.
Just all of a sudden, there's Amy. Yep.
And yeah, and so then, so I served, in Fort Lee, Fort Jackson, Fort Drum in Korea. I got out. And then I actually went into the Navy Reserves. And I was one of the first women Seabees, which is a construction worker, because my dad was a sheet metal worker. So they always say, your parents always tell you, never listen. Right. I listened so well, I passed all my tests and I never actually had to go to school for sheet metal work.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And so I was stationed here at JBLM with the Marines, because Seabees often are with the Marines.
Mm-hmm.
And then just worked, but always took on extra duties any place I worked. Like I worked for Nordstrom's in the cosmetics, but I was also their diversity and inclusion coordinator.
Oh, wow.
Probably the first time I'd ever even heard that phrase. And that was in Seattle 23 years ago.
Hmm.
You know, and then working with Estee Lauder was very big in cancer for female cancer victims. And so I did projects with, I can't remember the names, where, you know, because women would lose all their hair. And so different things for kind of headdresses, but also eyebrows, you know, how to accentuate, what types of moisturizers do you look for when you're going through cancer treatments? Like, so you want ones without fragrance, you want ones that are as gentle as can be, but your skin oftentimes is very much dried out.
Interesting. That's really cool.
Yeah. And so I did projects like that. And then in moving on through my careers, I did just different things. So I've always been kind of open if somebody goes. So I think it's funny to think of, you know, like I said, or I came up with the word volunteer-holic.
Right.
And it's because everybody came to me with volunteer things. Mm-hmm. So obviously it's part of, you know, what I'm manifesting, or, you know, I have a volunteer pheromone, something. And
go on. No, I'm loving it.
So my husband is amazing. When we were dating, so he's my second marriage. Mm-hmm. I was very unapologetic about, I am a volunteer. I'm not going to justify my volunteering. I'm not interested in asking permission or different things like that. And I was, I kind of put him through the ringer because I really didn't think I wanted to be married again. And he is amazing and just has complimented me in so many ways and enabled me to do what I do even more. And so it did not turn him off that in a way that I think it would, not gender specific, but partner specific. I think it's hard to just be there for a person who is so out front.
Right. And that goes for any job, right? Whether it's volunteering all the time, being gone, or working all the time, or chasing their passions all the time, right? If it's always one-sided so far. I saw my wife, Katie, she struggled with that because I was putting myself out there so much and going to all these different things, whether it was for school or work or chasing my passions. I wasn't balancing my life at all. And that it was hard on her for sure. And it's something that we've learned to work to overcome and pull back from what I did to say no to different opportunities, to make sure it aligns with me and who I am and where I want to go and all that, which leads me to a question that we chatted about this right before we pressed record. And that is, okay, there's so many volunteer opportunities and it's great to be game just to say yes to them. But we're also, you know, there's a kind of a culture, and I share this and teach this, like, you need to learn to say no. It's so easy to say yes to people please and to say yes, but we also need to say no to certain opportunities that don't align. But I almost think that we've taken it to the extreme, or some people have taken it to the extreme of, well, now they're closing themselves off to amazing opportunities that do fit them just because, well, it's not in their schedule at the moment. Like, what are your thoughts on that? How can we really make sure we're giving back, helping society out, but, you know, saying yes to the right things, but being careful and saying no to the things that are taking our time and energy away from our mission, from our purpose?
You know, I think that's a great question. Is my response is follow the joy. And so to me, sometimes something can look like it hits all your boxes. You know, for me, it works with kids. It's a great program. You know, they have a specific niche that they want me to do. But if I'm not in the right headspace, if I'm not, even if I have the available time, mm-hmm. pay attention to yourself. If you're not going into it and getting joyously going into it, that should really take a moment to pause. But then also, if you said no to it, but you're not finding joy at home with that time that you now have, I think it is okay to reach back out and say, hey, actually, do you need help? And sometimes, so say they found their person, mm-hmm. playing second fiddle can be the most amazing experience. Hmm. Like, I talk about this, like I came up with the idea of having a zombie apocalypse 5K. It was to try to engage junior enlisted. Like, we do things for the family, we do things for retirees, transitioning, all these different Army stories, but we needed something that engaged with junior enlisted. And so I came up with Zombie Apocalypse 5K. So all the older people in the group were like, all the younger people were like, yes, this is it. So I had all these pithy words. I'm like, it's all about bringing your slower friends and family, sacrifice them for the win, you know, all these different things. And the chapter president chose to give it to somebody else who was not actually a runner, had never coordinated an event. And I had to really step back on my ego and go, is the idea good? It was a really good idea. Will it be a lot of fun? It will. So what does it matter? Let her take the lead and I can be her assistant. And I did that, and it was probably one of the best experiences I've ever had. And what it did was it enabled me. So the next year she went to the chapter president and she goes, nobody should run this but Amy. But she had to go through all the firsts.
Right.
We had to, we rented the flag football belts. That was a pain. So my first year we bought them. It was not that much more expensive to purchase them. And now they're ours. And so like, the stage got taken like right before, cause it's a military. So it depends on rank and different things like that. And so we actually didn't get the stage, but I was like, it's okay. We put my husband's truck. It's perfect for a zombie apocalypse, right in the back of the truck. That is the best stage. And I would never have thought of it, but we used it for years. Because it makes sense, right?
Right. Totally.
Totally. I mean, does a beautiful, elaborate stage make sense for a zombie apocalypse?
Yeah, no. Like a truck that's beaten down with a torn flag on it and all those different things. That's what I imagine. That's awesome.
So all the little things, like I got to not be the person in charge, mm-hmm. see all the things, but truly be present for her.
Nice.
Like it wasn't jealous or butthurt or anything. I just was like, even though this was my idea, it went this way because of politics or whatever. If we're truly volunteers, it doesn't matter.
How did you set your ego aside? Because that's a hard thing for many. Like we come up with this great idea and I had it happen at work. Oh, here's this great idea. We talk about it and then it goes to someone else, right? Someone else gets to take the lead on our baby, right? We poured so much sweat, thought, energy into, even if it was just an idea, and someone else takes it. How did you how are you able to set your ego aside to address it and to not be butthurt about it?
I think it's because I was more passionate about the result than myself. Mm. Like if we truly did want to engage junior enlisted, they're not going to care who the coordinator is. Not right. really. From the consumer standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And
as a chapter, we won membership awards. We won awards on JBLM. And we did it so well that the garrison at JBLM stole my idea. But he didn't get it right. He decided to do it like on the 30th of October. Hmm. And see, ours was in June because a zombie apocalypse could happen anytime.
Right.
And he kind of tied it to Halloween, which I'm like, that is a zombie fail. But here again, I participated in his just to get new ideas and to be a good sport, right?
Right.
And it was really interesting because there was a reporter there and asked him, because he's the garrison commander, how did you come up with this idea? And I just happened to be walking behind him. And he turned around and he goes, well, Amy gave it to me. So then I got the publicity for the newspaper.
Oh, nice. There you go.
You know, had I not gone, had I been weird with him or anything like that.
Right.
And a Medal of Honor recipient was there and we watched him get bowled over by two zombies. And so my husband and I got to actually pick him up and we completed it together. And so then he was like, I'm only going to do your zombie runs. So, but you know what I mean? Like you don't get those opportunities.
Right.
And like, and it's because he he was a ranger. And my zombies were rangers. So a ranger isn't going to take down a Medal of Honor recipient.
Right? Yeah. No. Hey, are you ready to crush it? To go after your dreams and goals and live your life to the max? Well, of course you are. That's why you're here listening or watching to the Jones and Four show. And I appreciate that. Thank you so much. But sometimes we still get stuck, right? These podcasts, this show is great, but that's not everything sometimes. Sometimes we need a little more. And you know what? I get that. What helps me and what has helped me and continues is a community. And surrounding myself with people who are amazing, who are like-minded, like me, going after goals, achieving big things, and pushing themselves and others to be their best. Wouldn't it feel amazing to be surrounded by a community like that? To be surrounded by people who are like you, who have big goals and dreams, and they're going for them. Not only are they going for their goals, they're helping and encouraging you to go after yours. Well, if that sounds interesting, if that sounds fun, if that sounds like a community you would love to be part of, well then come check out Spencer's Energy Hub. That's right, I have our membership community, we have a membership community that's here for you. I say we because we are the energizers, just like you. We energize each other to be our best. We have monthly rock star interviews, right? Where we interview masters in their field. We have weekly trainings. We meditate every week as a community. And you can hop and join us. You get special access to me along with an incredible community of people. So if you are ready to level up, if you are ready to be a rock star and crush your goals while being surrounded by an incredible and amazing community, check out Spencer's Energy Hub. All you have to do is go to spencersenergyhub.com and check it out. Or if you want, just head over to my website, www.spencermjones.com, and check out the hub. We would love to have you inside. All right, back to your show. Oh my gosh. You put yourself out there for those opportunities, right? You put yourself out there here's this idea. Okay. So it's someone else. I'm going to drop the ego, look at, okay, what's the outcome I want, and just be open to it, right? Be open to this. Oh, well, keep it on one. Well, cool. Let's go see how he does it. Maybe he does something better or different, and we could take it away and make ours better, improve it, right? Like it's looking at so many things. I mean, I run retreats for what we do for all of our community members. And I look and I see other people's retreats. Oh, well, that's a cool idea. I really like that idea. Oh, cool. Let's take it. And some you look at it and go, well, I wonder if they've got that from ours or that idea. Great. If it made theirs better, by all means, go for it, right? Because they maybe do something different that I might borrow and change it a little bit to be like, oh, yeah, this makes our event better or more, not better, but more impactful. Right. And now because of that and your experiences, you're able to help impact more people's lives by letting go of that ego, just going for it, being willing to learn, grow, and adjust as you went along, and to not be the first person to lead it. So you got to learn from all those mistakes or those lessons at first, and then make your second, third year and onward that much better because of that. And that's huge. So it's opening yourself up to be willing to learn.
Yeah. And I think, but that's where the joy comes in. Mm-hmm. That's where I think the universe sets us up to succeed, is when we are authentic and available.
Right. So when you're you and you're open to it and open to what the universe sends you, it adds a lot of joy to life, right? And you get so much more out of it.
Yeah. You don't get, so to me, I can work an incredible amount of hours and not get burned out because I'm following my joy. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm not joyfully in that space, that's when you get burned out. Or that's when, and I'll give you an example. So Travis Manion did a backpack giveaway. Mm-hmm. Well, the curriculum is written about soldiers and sailors or service members who basically have lost their life in battle. Mm-hmm. And what character strengths they embodied in their service. So it could be creativity, zest, it could be honesty, it could be humor, it could be all these different stories, and the stories are really neat. Well, we do this backpack giveaway and we end up giving backpacks away to kids all the way down to like kindergarten.
Wow.
So me and this veteran who is like, he was a Navy badass. He was a pilot and a diver, and he works for Cirque du Soleil, and his name is Eugene. He's a really neat guy. And so on the fly, we're trying to readjust the curriculum in our minds because you don't want to let little Joey think that the soldier died when little Joey's dad is a soldier and little son. Sarah's mom is a soldier. So we had to change some of it. And these projects that we had this last year, which was the first time Travis Manion did it, backpacks were amazing. It was a great project, but it was 4 hours of why I'm not a teacher and how this is not the age group that I'm the best with, you know? Mm-hmm. And so some of the parents are reading them. They're like, this is a little deep. But it was perfect. Like, now we know we need to create some curriculum where the soldiers are living.
Right.
Just and the sailors make it back, you know.
Right. To fit the kids you're serving and helping out with, right. To help them and for them to realize it more and not let their emotions, the sad emotions get in the way of it, that they're happy with it and they're getting that message. They're still getting the message. They're still getting the meanings behind it. And that's what you're really going for. Plus helping them get backpacks and help them with supplies and things that they need.
Right. And I think it was like 94% an amazing project. 6%, this is where we need to grow.
Right.
You know, and traditionally speaking, we're in high schools and alternative programs. So our curriculum is absolutely point on for the the kids that we work with, except for this scenario.
And to have the awareness to go, okay, this was all pretty, you know, 94% good, 6%. We just need to tweak. We need to adjust. We need to learn and grow from. That's huge, just to have the awareness, because there's people out there like, oh, this was a failure. Oh, this is just not good. Let's scrap the whole thing and forget it. When now the majority of it was there. Some of it just needs to be tweaked. And that's going to take a little bit of work and effort. But then you, if you go back and try it again with that age group, then okay, well, let's see how this goes. And then you tweak it again and keep tweaking it. I mean, every time. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've ran events or heck, even teaching just a lesson in the classroom. Even now with just having our workshops, you learn from each one, you grow, you adapt, you change every time just to make it more impactful, more meaningful.
Well, yes. And then also personally, when the roster comes down to, you know, you can do this in the schools, you can do this. Now we have the backpack giveaway. I'm going to stay right over here.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You could, right? We're just going to stay.
I will be a backup.
Yep.
On any given day, if I can, but I am not going to put my name there first.
Right. Exactly. You get, especially with that aspect, you get like, oh, we're going to keep this to older kids. And that's great. And you learned you could do that, which is huge.
Yeah.
So we're making sure we find our niche of where we fit in with, you know, our passions, making sure we're chasing our passions. One that I could see myself doing is a river cleanup or a waterway cleanup, because I love kayak fishing. Right. And going and volunteering, doing that, or starting one, something like that with school age kids or whoever, just go and clean up the, you know, the beaches, waterways, different things like that. So we're chasing our passions in the sense of how can we volunteer, help others. It could be our career, doesn't have to be, but it needs to make sure that it fills our cup, not just drains us, and that we're open to try different things and adjust. If things don't fit right away, don't just throw our hands up in the air and give up. Let's try different things to see if we could find the one that really resonates with us. Is that right?
That is right. And it's mad. And the magic happens when you do that.
Hmm. So if you could share one last story of something that really resonated with you, a moment when you volunteered that really resonated with you, that would inspire all the energizers here listening and watching this today. I can't wait to hear it. Do you have a story like that you could share?
I feel there's so many stories, but so I'm going to take it to fitness because it's you.
Perfect. Appreciate it.
Okay. So when I was a military relations liaison for a credit union, and I had just gotten to that position, they're like, oh, we're doing this Evergreen Fleet Cruise, which is all the command teams on JBLM go on yachts. Tacoma Yacht Club takes them out to this island, feeds them lunch, da, da, da. Well, the credit union sponsors in a big way. And so we have all these spots open and they're like, Amy, you can bring as many people as you want. And I'm like, great. I have nobody, like, I don't know anybody who could take a whole day off of work tomorrow.
Right.
You know, and because even small business owners, you have to be. And then I was like, and who do I bring? Well, so I'd asked a couple of people, nobody was available, but then I asked my friend Threat. And this gentleman is about 6'5", and his name is a Threat, is Terrence Brown. So his first name is a Threatus.
Hmm.
He goes by Threat.
Right.
And we did things with kids all the time. And so I asked him, and he's like, yeah. So of course we're on the boat with the 3-star general. Okay. And at this time, my husband had not gone back into service. So I was just a contractor on JBLM, which means that I can go on and off post, but I can't bring anybody with me.
Mm-hmm.
So Threat and the general ended up like having a bromance and talking about. And so the general and Threat were talking about the similarities between junior enlisted and kids in our community, you know, inner city kids and stuff like that. And he wanted to do something. He's like, Amy, why haven't you had the kids on post? And I'm like, I don't know, because I'm one person. You know, I have a contractor's badge and nobody looks like me.
Right.
None of the kids I work with look like me. Let me just say it that way. And he goes, well, I guess it's a good thing I'm a general. I'm like, okay. I'm like, what are you guys planning? Right. So then they decide that we're going to bring kids on post to work out with a unit, a striker unit, which is used to be, would be like an infantry unit. It's kind of where it's morphed. So we had all this rigmarole about, you know, JAG was calling me, what's your 501c3 status? And I said, we don't have one. We're just two volunteers. I mean, literally, we had just decided we're going to be Young Businessmen was the name that the group wanted, but we hadn't a charity status. We hadn't filed any paperwork. And they're like, why do you think you can do this? And I'm like, I didn't. You know, like, I don't know. It wasn't my idea. And it is the only time JAG has called me back. I'd like to apologize for the way in which I spoke to you, ma'am. Your event is absolutely going to happen. We're going to send you, and I explained to them, I said, these kids do not have IDs. They do not have state IDs, and they don't have people in their life that are going to get them state IDs.
Right.
So you're going to, you know, like, maybe school IDs, but probably even not.
Right.
And they have all the ethnic names.
Right.
And they rhyme, you know, in groups. And I have no theories on that. And so they're like, it doesn't matter. The general said, this is going to happen. It doesn't matter. And I had all these challenges. So then I was like, okay, great. So now I have 17 kids to go on post. But because the delays in scheduling, it ended up butting up against football season. If any of these kids miss a football practice, they can't play in the first game.
Right.
And at this time, the coach for Lincoln High School, which is where most of these kids went, was a coach named John Kitna, who used to play for the Seahawks.
Right.
So he's a celebrity. So getting in an email through with a celebrity coach to do a thing that takes away from his program. So I emailed him every hour on the hour for 3 days straight.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Until he responded. And then he said, and then I explained what we were trying to do. And he goes, I say no to everyone, Amy. I say no to everybody. I'm going to say yes to you. So then I had to come up with, how do I get 17 kids on post? I drive a Kia Forte.
Right. Can't haul 17 kids with that.
And so then I was dropping kids off and I looked up and up the hill was the Black Episcopal Church bus. And I asked Threat and I go, do you know the pastor of that church? And he goes, I don't. And I said, well, let's go for a walk and meet him. And so we walked in and we asked, I said, if we filled your van up with gas, could we use it for this? And I gave them the whole 9 yards. And so my dad drove the Black Episcopal church van bus thing. We had all 17 kids. We went in. And then when we got there, the lieutenant was like, my soldiers will take it easy on your kids. I'm like, have you lost your mind? My kids work out almost every single day and they run from bullets, probably more than your soldiers. They're going to need to bring it. And it was the greatest thing. The bonding from, so they did, they ran where a soldier and a kid raced and then they came back to the formation.
Nice.
This is a road guard person's nightmare because you wouldn't be able to figure out the speed. But anyhow, so they did that. And then they went to a obstacle course, which you would have loved, right? So this is where the soldiers outperform. So the my kids beat them on the foot race.
Okay.
Almost every single one of them.
Wow.
Right? But when they got to the obstacle course, the soldiers knew how to work together to get over the walls and do different things. The kids didn't know how to work together through obstacles. So it was really interesting to see kind of this group. And then they went to the, it's called the DFAC, which is the Chow Hall, which is, you know, the military restaurant.
Right.
And the kids got to eat and they got to see what it was to like eat as a soldier, which was crazy impactful for my kids because they didn't get three meals a day on a regular basis.
I was going to say like that would leave a huge impact for them.
Right. And so the commander's like, that kid's not going to be able to eat that. And I'm like, oh, yes, he is. And he did. And Then they went back to the unit, and the unit showed them all their stuff, let them do simulators, all this kind of thing. Wow. What happened was the soldiers and the kids bonded so much that soldiers started going to their football games.
Oh my gosh, wow.
And the kids started having other role models.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, even within that day, it was so impactful that, traditionally speaking, we have military coins, and coins are given by commanders to soldiers specifically, not supposed to really be given to civilians.
Gotcha.
For outstanding service. The all of my kids, and my kids, I didn't have one conversation with them that, hey, can you thank them for their service? Can you say something special? I didn't have any conversations with them about it. Every single one of my boys stood up, thanked the soldiers for their service, talked about the most impactful part of the day. The soldiers talked about what they loved about being a soldier, why they joined, and it was so emotional. And it's all guys. I was the only female there. The commander had his runner run back to his office, and he coined all the boys.
Oh,
which is probably the only coin most of these kids will have. However, also I will say, in this city, no matter what high school kids of young men of color went to, 50% of them did not graduate.
Oh,
period. Wow. And these 17 kids, every single one of them have graduated high school. Four have entered the service, and four have graduated college.
Oh my goodness. Holy cow. That's huge.
Is that not huge?
That's it's incredible what your tenacity, what your drive, your energy did for so many people, right? It started with you being open to a possibility and then overcoming those obstacles, seeing that problem and going, okay, well, here's a problem. Let's find a solution. Oh, here's a solution. Let's keep going this. Oh, here's another problem. Oh, let's find that solution for that. And led to impacting not only 17 students' lives to where they all graduated high school and during the service, graduating college, but also the service members' lives, and something that they will remember for the rest of their lives. And they'll continue sharing those stories and the feelings, the emotions, all that stuff that goes with it. They're now sharing that light, that energy with the world, all because you had the tenacity to go after it. And that's such a huge story and something that you did, but we all can do in our own respective ways. And that's absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for doing that and for sharing that story. Holy cow, that's amazing.
I think you're right. It's the ripple effect. It's not me, and it's everybody participated.
Right. And that makes a huge difference. Well, you gave them the space to do it and the permission to do it, right? Because they looked for that permission, especially students, but adults too. We look for permission to do different things, certain things, and you gave them that space and the opportunity and permission, and they took advantage of it. So go them, and they're encouraged, right? They're encouraged by their friends and by seeing other people do it, that they're like, oh, okay, well, let's step outside my comfort zone. Let's do this. And then had an incredible day. And something that changed so many of their lives, I'm sure.
Well, and I wonder if John Kitna remembers my name. Even like I didn't go to the football games and see the soldiers, and you know, like what other impacts were made, I don't know.
Right.
You know, I know the things that I tracked, which were the boys themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just different. It's, you know, and it is exciting for me, but that's so joy. I got so much joy and laughter from it. There's so many funny parts of that, you know?
Right.
And, you know, and it worked outside of a program, outside of a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm. There's so many ways you can volunteer and do things. You just got to be open to the possibilities and sometimes think outside of the box, right? When you think outside of the box, great things can happen. And even inside the box, great things can happen, but you just have to be open and willing to put forth the effort, schedule it in, or just be open to the possibility and see where it takes you. And that's huge. Amy, this has been absolutely phenomenal. I've loved our chat, hearing your stories. It has gotten me pumped up to go volunteer more and find my niche and really give back to the community even more. But I love hearing your stories and everything you're doing. How can people connect with you and support all the work you are doing and all of that good stuff?
Well, just on Facebook. I don't, I'm pretty low social media, much to the chagrin of some of the people in my networking groups. Mostly just on Facebook would be the easiest, best way to contact me.
Perfect. Well, what we'll do is we will put your link for your Facebook in our show notes, which you can find at spencermjones.com. Just go there, find this episode, and we'll have show notes all written out so you can read it, and then also the links to Amy's Facebook. Amy, this has been phenomenal. Thank you so much for your time and energy, your stories, and I don't know, filling us with, and me personally, the zest to give back and really support the community and the world as a bigger and greater person. So thank you so much.
Well, you too. Thank you.
Thank you. And everyone, have an amazing day. Go out, find your niche, go volunteer, find out what it is. And if you didn't find it right away, don't worry. Don't beat yourself up. Just keep trying. Find the right one that fills you and gives that energy back so you can continue to give your light to the rest of the world. So thank you for joining us, and make sure you hit like, subscribe, so you don't miss a single episode. And until next time, I'll catch y'all later.